It is time to get into the Word, and I will ask you to turn to the book of Psalms. We have been doing a psalm study, and as we turn to the book of Psalms, the psalm that I had you read this past week was going to be Psalm number 105. And let me tell you a funny story. I remember at some point coming across a psalm that I called the Thanksgiving Psalm. And this was the psalm that I had in mind. And I was trying to figure out why I gave it that name and if I saw it in the passage or what it was. And I couldn't quite find it. And a few weeks ago when I was looking for this passage and looking for which one we were going to do today, I kept looking for it and I was like, well, I said, I think this one will fit good for Thanksgiving. And so I put this on. Now, that whole situation with the Thanksgiving psalm, I was looking through some of my past notes that I've had on different different sermons that I've done, and I have a message that is called a Thanksgiving psalm. And it's about this psalm. And so it wasn't something that I saw like a title or a heading in the scripture. It was something that was from notes that I had made years ago. And so one thing that you will find is that there's circumstances where a lot of the time we don't even remember what we preached on last week. So if you were to ask me, you know, what I preached about, you know, 3 years ago, I certainly wouldn't know. But I figured I'd share that with you. And we were able to dig into the psalm. This is it's a wonderful psalm. And I hope that you'll kind of see with me tonight why that is. So I call it a Thanksgiving psalm, and we'll explain to you why. Let's first, before, hopefully you're in Psalm 105, but before we do, we'll go over some trivia questions from last week. And so I'll share these with you. And the first one is a little bit of a trick question. Not really a trick question. It's kind of an easy one. But what tribe was Korah from? What tribe was Korah from?
Levi.
That is correct. Korah was a Levite. What were the Korahites, as they were called? What was their responsibility? Does anyone remember what it was?
Doorkeepers.
Doorkeepers. That was after what about when they were there in the wilderness? Does anyone remember what that one was? They took care of the furniture. And you and I think of furniture as, you know, the tables and the chairs and the little stands that we have. But the temple furniture, I guess there was a table. It was the table of showbread, but also like the candles or the candlesticks that they had and things like that. That would be considered furniture. The things that went in the tabernacle, that's all considered furniture. What they would do, or what the priests would do. The sons of Aaron, they would come in and they would put these skins over top of the pieces of furniture, and then they would hand them to the Korahites, and the Korahites would hold on to them. But they weren't supposed to touch the bare metal. The Korahites were only allowed to touch the covers, and so that was their responsibility. The last question was, who were some of the famous sons of Korah? Heman was one of them. And who was Heman's grandfather? Joel was another one. And who was Joel's father?
Samuel.
Samuel. The prophet Samuel, the judge Samuel, the Samuel that is written about in the Bible. And also another of the famous sons of Korah were the singers. There was a group of musicians that were sons of Korah as well. So, as we look at the passage today, thank you for that. You guys did a good job on the trivia today. Awesome. So, we're going to go to Psalm 105, and what we'll do is we'll read just the first 15 verses, and then we'll walk through a couple parts of it, and I'll give you some application for today. But as we look there, look, if you will, in the scriptures to Psalm 105, and the Bible says this. Again, you can read along there in the passage. And the Bible says this, verses 1 through 15. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders in the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. And so we see that verses 1 through 15, and I'll share this with you. Hopefully you read all of the passage, and as you look at it, we'll lay some groundwork a little bit first, but we don't know exactly who wrote this psalm because it does not have an inscription like some of the other ones do. It doesn't say a psalm of David or a psalm of this person or that, but we can come to a conclusion that at least part of this psalm was written by David. And I say that because I'll show you why. You can do one of two things. I'll give you two options. You can take one of the pew Bibles if you want, because we're going to compare two passages of Scripture here. But what you can do, or you can turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in your own Bible and just keep Psalms handy. But what I'm going to do is, are you using this one, Mr. Harry?
No.
All right, I'm going to use that one because that way we can kind of see, and it's interesting to see. So what we're going to do is, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, the Bible says this, in the first verse, it talks about what was taking place here, that they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. So understand, we're in the time of David. The ark of the covenant is coming, and it's going to come to its setting place. And if you recall, there was a situation in the book of Samuel, where David, the Philistines had sent back the ark of the covenant after they had taken it. And so David wanted to move the Ark of the Covenant, and so they decided, okay, what we'll do is we'll make a they saw it with the cart, and if you remember, there was some men that came by and saw that the ox were stumbling and that the ark was going to fall off, and the man's named Uzzah, he reached up to get it to stop the ark from falling, and God struck him dead. And if you recall that story, they just kind of stopped what they were doing, and they stopped and put the ark at a man named, I believe his name was Obed-Edom. And so then at some point, they wanted to bring the ark out to a place where it was going to be more permanent. And when that happened, David, and he brought the ark of God and set it in place. And there was a big celebration because this was happening, because the ark was in place and the ark of God was set in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And then we go on, and if you go to verse 5, it says Asaph, the chief. Remember, we talked about Asaph and his role, and he was a close servant there of King David. And so I just wanted to make sure that I pointed out, hey, we have Asaph. We've made reference to Asaph before. And then we go to verse 7, and this is where it gets a little bit interesting, because in verse 7, The Bible says, then on that day, so the day that they were bringing, that they brought the Ark of God, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read Psalm 105, and I'm going to begin to read it, and you follow along. You start in verse 8, and you see there's going to be some words that are a little bit different, but you're going to see kind of the parallel here between 1 Chronicles 16, verses 8, going through verses 22, and Psalm 105. So follow along there. You can read, and you can choose whichever one you want. Well, I'm going to read Psalm 105, and you can follow along in 1 Chronicles. It says this, "O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Do you see the pattern here? It's very similar. "Glory ye in his holy name, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore." So we see here over and over going down, there's a couple words that are a little bit different, but this passage, this psalm is a quote from this passage that David delivered to the, as he says there, he delivered it to the hand of Asaph and to his brethren. So there's this neat parallel here. Now there's something else there that's kind of neat. If you want to, again, keep your finger there. If you haven't, make sure that you're still holding on to 105. Turn to, so we see that, and we see that going all the way to verse 22. All right. Now, what I want to do is, if you can, you can go to Psalm 96. And in Psalm 96, we see something very similar. If you go to Psalm 96, and then we see Psalm 96, and then if you're in 1 Chronicles, from verse 23 through verse 33, we see a parallel passage to Psalm 96, the majority of Psalm 96. So there, you see these little parallels and these kind of psalms that are fit and tied together. And what was the purpose of this? Okay, go back to what 1 Chronicles said. 1 Chronicles said that the purpose that David wrote this was he wrote it and he gave it to Asaph for the purpose of thanking the Lord. So this was a psalm of thanksgiving. It was a time that people were praising God. They were thanking the Lord. And there's also another, you know, parallel passage that I'll throw in there, and you can put this in your notes somewhere if you want, but in Psalm verses 35 and 37 of 1 Chronicles 16 are found in Psalm 106, 47, and 48. And it's neat because sometimes your Bibles may have a cross-reference and things like that, but this is one of those situations where the Bible refers to itself or quotes itself, and I always find those kind of things very fun to look at and very fun to read. So here we have this psalm, and again, we see the purpose of it. The purpose was given to us in 1 Chronicles, and that purpose was to thank the Lord. Now, as you read the majority of Psalm 105, you will find that for the most part, it's a historical recap of the people of Israel. It talks about Abraham. It talks about Moses. It talks about the people. So let's turn back to Psalm 105 and let's kind of break down this this psalm. Let's kind of divide it up, and then we'll glean some truths from it so that we can learn how the Lord would have us to apply this. Psalm 105, verses 1 through 5 talk about an exhortation or an encouragement or a directive to praise God for his wondrous works. And verses 1 through 5 really go through many of these wondrous works the passage itself talks about these wondrous works, but verses 1 through 5 really just kind of give an encouragement and a instruction, a exhortation to praise God. Well, then verses 6 through 16, you'll go through it, and it starts talking about It's a praise for his goodness, for the goodness of the Lord towards Abraham. And then in a few verses, you see it talk about Isaac, and then you see it talk about Jacob. Verses 17 through 22 really give us a picture of God's goodness and his goodness to Joseph, and talks about Joseph in Egypt. Verses 23 through 25 talk about Israel in Egypt. Verses 26 talks about Moses in Egypt. Verses 27 and you go down through 36, it talks about the plagues sent to the Egyptians. And obviously this was something that was difficult for the Egyptians, but it was something that again, if you look at the beginning of the passage, it's talking about God's wondrous works, the amazing things that God has done. And this is just Israel rehearsing or reciting some of these things that happened. And the plagues were one of those wondrous things that happened. And they did this for the purposes of, hey, they wrote these down so that they wouldn't forget about all that God did for them. Then you go down, verses 37 and 38, talks about the deliverance of the Israelites out of Egypt. Verses 39 through 43 really go through with his covenant and how he cared for them in the wilderness. And then verse 44 and verse 45 talked about them, their inheritance in the land, and being God bringing them to Canaan, into the Canaan land. And so you look at this, and it's amazing to see just kind of a historical recap. There's another psalm, I think it's in the 70s. That's what I can tell you definitively, but it's in the 70s. I think it's 78 or 75. But it's another historical recap. There's some of these psalms that go through and kind of give just a condensed, brief history on what God did for the people of Israel. So this is a Thanksgiving psalm, and tonight I wanted to discuss with you what I call a recipe for Thanksgiving, and then relate that to you and me, and how we can see this as a Thanksgiving psalm. So the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at a recipe. All right, the recipe. The first thing we'll look at is a recipe. So when we look at this and we break down this first part of the passage, these first few verses tell us, first and foremost, it comes out, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Now this phrase, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord," that phrase is found over and over and over again in different parts of the Psalms. We see it in Psalm 92. We see it in Psalm 105, 106, 107, 118, or we see it twice in 118. We see it in 136. It's important for us to give thanks to God. And the reason that is because it is from him that all things consist. And when I say that, it means that he's the one that holds everything together. He's the one that, as Brother Anthony prayed a few minutes ago, he said, hey, every good thing and every perfect thing comes from God. And that's what the Bible says. And so anything that we have, anything good that we have, really anything that we have, it's from God. And so we certainly thank God. We can thank God because he's good to us, and our thanks should be first directed to God. You know, many holidays, they'll focus on people. Some holidays will focus perhaps on an event. But as we give thanks, we need to, you know, it's not just about the enjoyment of a meal that we get to enjoy. It's about giving thanks to God. And we'll make a couple applications about that just here at the end, so that we can kind of chew on it and take it home as we go into this Thanksgiving week. That's next week. And so we want to make sure that we have a mind and a heart of Thanksgiving. So it's talking about give thanks unto God. Then it says call upon him. There's this idea that this word means like inviting. So call upon his name. Call unto God. Are we inviting God to be a part of our lives? Are we inviting him to show us what we should be thankful for? And so we need to call to God and ask for him these things. Then it says, make known his deeds among the people. So this first part of the passage really is giving some instructions. Like, this is what you should do. Give thanks to God. Call unto God. Call upon his name. Then it says, make known his deeds among the people. See, we ought to let people know what the Lord does in our lives. And it's not just, you know, it's something that's what our testimony time is about. It's about the Lord and talking about what the Lord has done in our lives. And as we hear that the Lord is working in the life of another person in the church family or someone else over here, hey, that's an encouragement to all of us. And we're saying, hey, God is at work, or something that we can pray about with this person. But it encourages us, and it should be something that we are talking about God and what it is that he's doing in our lives among the people. Then in verse 2, it says, sing unto him. That's another thing that we should do. As we give thanks to God, we should sing unto him. Sing unto the Lord. And it also we also see the next part of that verse says, sing psalms unto him. So there's two ways that we can see this. All right, one is sing scripture to the Lord. All right, talk scripture to the Lord. And that's okay to do. We've learned some psalms. We've learned some verses, and we've learned, we can certainly sing those unto the Lord. But it also gives us an idea of, there's some people that look at this and they say, sing songs and psalms unto him. And the idea of a psalm is with music or with instrument. Now, here's what I'm going to say, all right? A musician has a much bigger appreciation a musician puts a lot more effort into making music. It takes practice. It takes effort. It takes focus. And so when a person is, you know, sometimes the people that are on the piano or on the organ or playing an instrument, they make it look so easy. They make it look like anybody could just play a note or just play on the piano and these notes will just come out beautifully. But it takes practice and it takes effort and it takes a lot of focus to be able to use that instrument and use it to honor and glorify God. And so a person that plays an instrument, they put a lot of effort into that. See, for a lot of us, you know, we'll sing, and you know, because and you know, good or bad, how or indifferent, however we sing, you know, we sing unto the Lord. But an instrument takes a lot of practice and it takes a lot of effort, and so that person pretty much is putting a lot more effort into praising God than someone like me who's just singing a song. And so, you know, so again, this idea of it takes a lot of effort, and we should do it in a way that is pleasing to God. And so certainly, a musician, a person that's practicing at these things and working hard at it, they certainly are, I think, putting more emphasis and effort into really doing their part to praise God. And so we praise the Lord for it, and we certainly reap the benefits of it. But I think that when we look at it from God's perspective, God sees that, and God sees that effort, and God sees that time that they're putting into practicing their song and things like that. And boy, that should please God even more than just us, you know, just throwing something together, you know, for the Lord. And so certainly that idea is putting a lot of effort into praising him. So then we go on. There's more in verse 2. It says, talk ye of all his wondrous works. So the things of God should be readily on our mind. We should talk of his wondrous works. And so, you know, the Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so what's going on in our heart, that's what we talk about. And so, you know, when we get a chance to talk about things, the things that we discuss, those are the things that are coming up that are in our heart. Now, are the things that are on our heart and the things that we talk about, are we talking about the wondrous works of God? They should be. That should be something that's within us that's bubbling over that we can be sharing with people. Then it says, glory ye in his holy name. So the idea here, this word glory, is really gives us the idea of bragging on God. And it's not bragging on ourselves or anything that we are, because we know that we don't deserve anything that God has given us. But it's a matter of bragging on God. We serve an amazing God. We serve a God that is worthy to be praised. He's given us so much. He is a God that's above all gods. And certainly it's something that we should glory in. And it's not just like, yes, he's a wonderful God. He's our God. He is our Savior. And that should be something that we should glory and enjoy and certainly brag about. And again, it's not something that we're pointing to ourselves. It's something that we're pointing to the Lord. And next, it says, let your heart rejoice. So again, we see here that in this verse, in verse 3, our heart should be rejoicing. There should be a joy that we have in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Be in, you know, it shouldn't be something that we're just, yeah, and I know, I mean, we're, you know, people are at work all week. And people are just, you know, dragging, and we're just like, yeah, we're at church and here we are. And, you know, I mean, and you know, I mean, you know how the world does it. They go to work and they're like, you know, it's Tuesday, and it's like, hey, how are you doing? They're like, it's not Friday yet. And I mean, you know, they're down, and it's like, man, we should be rejoicing in the Lord. And then verse 4, we should seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Then it says, seek the Lord and his strength. But then it goes on and says, seek his face forever, seek his face evermore. And so that gives us the idea of seeking his favor. And so then it goes on in verse 5, remember his marvelous works and judgments. Verse 5. Then it goes on a little bit, it talks about his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Then it kind of gives a little bit, starts talking about Abraham. But then if you go to verse 8, then it goes and it says, he hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. So it goes back, and we need to, you know, this verse number 8 reminds us to praise God for his promises. He makes a reference here to a promise that he made to Abraham, that he is going to, as he said, which he commanded to 1,000 generations. And so we need to be thankful for that. And it's certainly something that we can praise God about and be thankful for the promises that he gives us. He gave one to Abraham, but he also gave one to us. And so here we see that that's kind of a breakdown of the first part of the passage that talks about how, you know, how should we go about our thanksgiving? And then the rest of the passage is what I would call a remembering. A remembering. A remembering of God's work through history. And we see this in two ways. And in the two ways that we're going to see it, I'm going to make that application to us as well. So it says a remembering of God's work throughout history. We see that he worked, and he worked among the people of Israel. And that's what this passage is talking about. The work of God to deliver them, the work of God to help them in these situations that they faced, to bring them to be a nation and to be a kingdom. And then we also see God's work, the remembering of God's work through history among the nation, the work of God in the nation of Israel. And so I want to take those two things and kind of make that application. You know, why was in Psalm 105, why is the psalmist so full of thanksgiving? Because he looked through these things and he remembered, and God kind of gave a history lesson, and he remembered God's work with his people and with his nation. And so when we think about it with his people, we see that the work of God delivered the people of Israel, but the work of God also delivered the church, Christians, us. And so we look and we see ourselves in that as well. But we also see the work of God in the nation of Israel, and we also see the work of God in our country as well. Now, here's the thing, all right? We need to be a little bit careful with this, and we'll talk a little bit about it. But this holiday that we're about to celebrate is very interesting because it's a day of festivities. Now, when we look at the Jewish feasts, all right, when we look at the scripture, and when you see the Bible talk about some of the Jewish feasts, it's interesting because the Jewish feast, it was set early on in their existence as a people, and it was something that they were supposed to do over and over as a remembrance of an event or something that God did. Now, for instance, the Passover. Now, the Passover has a lot of symbolism as we transfer over to the Lamb of God, all right? But the Passover specifically was made in as a reference to the angel of death passing over the people, and then the night that they were going to come out of, before they were going to come out of Egypt. That was a very specific event. Now, there's another festival or a feast, as the Jewish people call it. It was a feast of booths, all right, or the feast of tabernacles sometimes that they called it. Now, that feast, what they would do is that they would all go to the area, to this area, and they would set up booths, or they would set up tabernacles, or today we would call them a tent. Why? To be a reminder of the times where they dwelled in the wilderness and they were around the tabernacle, and that their families, everyone was set up in tents. That was the purpose. And so they would continue to do these things throughout their history as a remembrance of an event in their national history, if you will. And so we don't have a lot of holidays like that. But Thanksgiving is kind of one of those. And so when we look at Thanksgiving is a time where we, you know, if we take a step back, what was Thanksgiving about? It was a time early on in history when they had a time of thanksgiving as they were thanking God for the harvest that they had, because the previous ones had been very difficult and had many people had died and passed away. But hey, there was a time where they were able to come together, and it was a time of thanksgiving, and we commemorate that. And so now we're looking back kind of in history, and we're almost emulating that. I don't know that they had pumpkin pie back, you know, with the pilgrims. I don't think they did. But, you know, there is a little bit of that with the harvest and the turkey, obviously the turkey being the main part. And so there's a little bit of that with our current holiday of Thanksgiving. So why do I say that? Because many times, and especially now, more and more I hear about, you know, how do people view Thanksgiving? You know, I've heard people talk about it, and they say, oh, well, we're just going to go around and we're going to be with our family, and then my stupid uncle is going to, you know, make a fool out of himself, do this. And there's other people that are just like, I hate being around my family, but I have to be around there, you know. But that's not having a heart of Thanksgiving. And we need to take a step back and really be thankful for what God has allowed us to have. And it's not a matter of grumbling. It's not about football. And it's not really about just complaining with your family. It's not about shopping. It's not about any of those things. It's about taking time to be thankful. Now, here's the thing. I put a quote at the bottom of your sheet. But there's one thing that's really struck me probably over the last couple weeks. And in the book of 2 Timothy, there's this part of the scripture in that Paul is talking to Timothy, and he says this. He says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we've heard this verse over and over again. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, let's just take like two words in this entire verse or these two verses and really take time to chew on it. There's a long list of things here that we would say, yes, there's a lot of people this way and that we see the culture and people around us going that way. First and foremost, Christians should not be acting this way. We should not be characterized this way. But one thing to really stop and to think about is in the last days, what kind of times shall come? Perilous. What does peril mean? Danger. So let's just switch the word there so that we can understand it better. In the last days, dangerous times shall come. Why? And then it goes on to explain different things. Unthankful is one of those things. So the idea that I want us to carry away from this verse is that there is a danger in being covetous. There is a danger of being a lover of your own self or proud or blasphemers or disobedient to parents. But there's a danger that the Bible points out. God Almighty points out in His Word that dangerous, dangerous times, and there's a danger in being ungrateful. And so as we go into this season, you know, we can certainly be ungrateful. And we can certainly focus on the wrong things. And we can focus on the negative. And that's such a problem today that so many people, everyone just wants to be negative. And they want something to complain about, or they want to complain to you about someone else or about something going on in their lives. And, you know, that's a lot of work to be that negative. And there's a lot of times where people just, you know, there's a lot of complainers out there. And, you know, we can all complain about something. But, you know, we should be thankful. And so as we take time during this season, again, realizing that there's a danger to being ungrateful. So what does that mean? So in your notes there, there's a list there that's taken from the recipe section of what I talked about that says, what is the recipe for Thanksgiving? And so it's this. It's give thanks to God, call upon God, brag on God, sing unto God, talk about God, glory in God, rejoice in God, seek God, remember God, and praise God. Amen. And so those lists of things are taken from these first five verses that we looked at, or first eight verses, something that we can adopt in our lives to say, okay, this is how I can be thankful. This is how I can give thanks unto God. And as we look at it, again, it's a work of God in His people, and it's also a work in our nation. And so we see, yes, you know, we can focus on, you know, we look at these people throughout the years that have gone through so much that, you know, that we learn about in history. But, and we can certainly be thankful for what they've done. Right. And different people, you know, whether it be all throughout the history of our nation. And what we should not lose sight of is in all these things, God worked in our nation, but we need to remember that it was a work of God. Right. It's not just a work of, you know, certain principles and certain ideas and certain ideologies, those things were good. But the most important thing is God, is our emphasis and focus on being thankful to God for what He's done, because it was a work of God. And so God has certainly used our nation to expand many things. Be thankful for religious freedom, be thankful for the freedoms that we have, the liberties that we get to enjoy and things like that. But it goes back to being thankful to God, because God is the one in whom all things consist. He's the one that holds everything together. And he is the one that deserves all the praise and all the thanks that we can. And many times, he's not the first one that we're thanking. And we need to make sure that we're thankful, that we have a heart of thanksgiving, and that we use this recipe to be thankful to God for his work in our church, for his work among his people, for his work around our area, around the nation. But again, remembering that it's a work of God, and it all goes back first and foremost to the Lord. So all that we recall and we look and we say, we ought to be a people that are thankful, that are grateful, because there is a danger that the Bible clearly points out in being ungrateful. So as we go into this season, as we go into this season, we ought to be grateful. Grateful for one another, but especially grateful for the Lord. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the day, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. And Father, we do thank you just for who you are, Lord, for all that you've given us, Lord, for a place to worship, but Lord, especially for your word, for being able to open it up and to see, Lord, the things perhaps where we fall short. But Father, we thank you that Lord, you can point these things to us and show us, Lord, the things, the places where we need to take a step up. But especially, Lord, how really, step by step, we can be grateful for all that you've done for us. Lord, I pray that you would be with our church family. Lord, I pray that you would go before us as we go our separate ways tonight. Lord, give everybody safety. And Lord, as we prepare for this upcoming week and as we prepare for Thanksgiving, Lord, we just ask that you would help us, Lord, in all that we do, to be grateful, to be thankful people. Lord, that people would be able to see that and that your light would shine all around us. And Father, we'll thank you for it. We ask all these things and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.